Welcome to The Extra, the show that connects you with the issues, topics, and people that are important to you. And certainly when we've got the KRDO Storm Tracker 13 Weather Center telling us that the temperatures are going to reach the upper 90s, low 100s possibly today in Colorado Springs and surrounding environs, you know heat is something to be aware of and be prepared for. And our focus today on The Extra is making sure we're prepared for really anything, not just heat, that Mother Nature can throw at us. It's still severe weather season, and we have lots of time to be outside, but making sure we enjoy the outdoors responsibly and safely, that's the point of today's show. So we should all think about the risks that there are in the great outdoors and how to get ready for them. And joining us this morning for our conversation with a lot of information on being ready for severe weather, we're pleased to welcome to the show Robin Adair, Community Preparedness Coordinator with the Pikes Peak Region Office of Emergency Management. Robin, welcome to the show.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's so great that you're able to be on here. You know, when we're talking about preparing, there's specific weather preparedness. There's also general severe weather preparedness. Why don't you tell us a little bit about the latter?
The general weather preparedness. Well, for being prepared in general, we always ask everyone to do three things. Know what your local risk is. Make a plan for those risks and pack the right emergency supplies to respond to those. And that works for all kinds of severe summer weather, too. Number one is knowing your risk. So you need to sign up for peak alerts. If you don't do anything else in El Paso County, sign up for peak alerts. Go to peakalerts.org. Make sure you get your cell phones registered to receive important alerts for emergencies on your phone. You can also sign up for weather alerts in areas that you're traveling to. So if you're going somewhere else in the state, go to that county's alert system and sign up for it. If you're traveling elsewhere in the country, make sure you sign up. Be aware of your surroundings, know what the forecast is, and get those alerts so that you will be aware of your risk. And then once you know what the risks are, you have to think about what you're going to do if those things happen. That'll help you start getting your plan together. That's the second step. So planning needs to include communication and having hard copy phone lists and considering what you're going to need in a situation where you might have to evacuate your home, or if you're stuck in your car, or if you have to shelter at home, because weather can cause all of those scenarios. Then the third step is packing your supplies and getting them together. Once you've got the plan, pack the supply in accordance with the plan. So an emergency kit for your car, an evacuation go bag in case you have to leave your house, and a shelter-in-place kit for being stuck at home should all be things that you do in terms of that general preparedness.
All right, so I'm looking it up right now, and just so you know, peakalerts.com will not get you there. I just Googled.
It's peakalerts.org.
.org. Okay, O-R-G. There you go.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that.
Oh, no, I don't know if you said it. I just assumed. So peakalerts.org, that'll get you there. And Robin, tell me if this is something where it tailored to your, wherever your phone is, like your geographical location, or is it tailored to your address where you live, or does it offer you both options?
Peak Alerts is the county notification system, so that is tailored to whatever address you decide to register. So you can register your home address with your phone. So if an emergency happens in your neighborhood, you'll be notified for your neighborhood. You can also sign up for, I believe it's 5 more locations, so you can sign up to get alerts for where your kids go to school or the locations where you work or the locations where your relatives live. So you can put a number of addresses in there and be notified based on your address. We also have a statewide alert system that is what you were talking about, notifies your phone based on where you're standing. It doesn't matter what your address is. That's something you don't have to sign up for separately. So you're covered there at the state level. But to get the local alerts for local threats and local warnings, you need to sign up for the local system.
And we certainly have seen in the past couple of weeks, Colorado, unfortunately, gaining some national headlines for the severity of summer storms. Summer storms bringing down that mudslide up there in the Poudre Canyon. And so can you tell us, what about our local risks this time of year?
Well, you're right. Colorado has had some notoriety. In fact, we're on a lot of top 10 lists when it comes to severe weather. We're in the windiest, top 10 windiest states in the country. We're top 10 for the most lightning. We are home to part of Tornado Alley. And we're also on the top 10 list for hailstorms. And of course, flooding, we're not even on the top 10 list for flooding, but flooding is one of the biggest local threats based on damage estimates. So even though we're not on the top 10 list, that's a big risk. And just about any kind of summer weather really is a severe, serious concern in Colorado.
And for this year specifically, what's the outlook here for the rest of this summer?
Well, our partners with the Weather Service and other forecasters are all telling us that the monsoon's going to wrap up here in the next couple of weeks. It's going to be moving out, the afternoon thunderstorms. And then by mid-August, we're expecting to have a hotter and drier August and September. It's a pretty confident that we're going to look at the upper 80s in August and mid to upper 80s in September, and it's likely to be dry. So you, as you mentioned earlier, heat is definitely going to be an issue for at least the next 8 weeks. It doesn't rule out a lightning or a hailstorm that could still cause a lot of harm, too. And we're figuring on a lot of wind by mid-September. So that's what's in store for the rest of the summer.
Mm. And there are aspects of this summer that have really reminded me of the summer before Waldo Canyon and the summer of Waldo Canyon. And, you know, you get those monsoons that allow some of the grasses to build up, and then you get a dry spell, and then, you know, that really increases our fire danger. Are there things that we can do to get ready for all of it in general?
Well, in general, those three steps I told you about, knowing what the local risk is, planning for those risks, and packing your supplies. And then specifically for summer weather, to get ready, you know, for the summer weather, your kits should be seasonally appropriate. Make sure that you can't just pack an emergency kit and call it good forever. You've got to keep it updated, and you've got to rotate the supplies. Think about, in addition to the basics like food and water and first aid, important documents, things for summer can include extra water, emergency blankets to create shade, sunscreen in case you get stuck on the side of the road or stuck outdoors for a long time. Instant ice packs are great to add to your summer emergency kit. Be sure that you keep some smart shoes in your emergency kit in your car in case there's a flood or a windstorm or some sort of an event when you're not at home, because in the summer, you don't want to be caught in a disaster in flip-flops.
Oh, no.
You know, keep a pair of shoes with you. Your emergency kit should be right for whatever the season is, and you need to make sure to update the things like batteries that go bad, and you don't want the snacks to get moldy, so make sure you're rotating the supplies too for summer.
Right. Breakfast bars or granola bars, those, they even though they're meant to last, they do seem to be one of the first things that can get not good to eat. A little rancid there with the nuts.
Yeah.
All right.
And so just keep rotating them.
Yeah. Robin, we're going to be talking to you much more about some of the risks that we face during the summer that need to have you prepared for them. We're talking about flash flooding, extreme heat, hailstorms. I also want to ask you, you know, document preparedness, what we should be doing. All those questions and much more we'll get Robin Adair to answer as we continue our extra today on this Thursday morning. Our guest again, Robin Adair. We'll be back in a few moments with more of the extra. Welcome back to The Extra, the show connecting you with issues, topics, and people that are important to you today. Our focus is on being ready for severe weather. Our guest today, Robin Adair, Community Preparedness Coordinator with Pikes Peak Regional Office of Emergency Management. And Robin, let's talk a little bit. You mentioned lightning, that, you know, we have had some of these storms with pretty severe lightning. Sometimes there was one storm that happened this summer, and I'm sure a lot of people have experiences like this, where it was actually sunshine on me, and yet lightning not far off in the distance. And sometimes we can have just such crazy turns of temperature and turns of weather that we're not prepared for them. I definitely can relate to this. So why don't you talk about preparing for this?
For lightning specifically?
Yeah.
El Paso County has had more lightning deaths than any other county in the state since 1980. I'd like to really lose that record. People would be more careful. And it's not always just being careful, but it's being smart about it. I hate to say it too many times, but if you hear thunder or you see lightning, you get indoors and stay clear of any connected electrical things inside. As you mentioned, you can be hit by lightning far away from the storm. There have been people hit by lightning 6 to 10 miles away from a storm. You can get apps on your phone that tell you how far away the lightning is, but if it's within a few miles, you need to take cover now. lightning can strike a miles away from the storm. A big deal in the Pikes Peak region is that, like you mentioned, we see so much lightning. We do see a lot of lightning here. We're one of the biggest states for lightning. And because of that, I think maybe people might not take it seriously enough because it has so much potential to interrupt what we're doing. So we tend to be complacent about it. But it's like 120 million volts, and you can't afford to make that mistake once. So if you hear thunder or see lightning, get indoors. If you're absolutely unable to get inside, now, of course, I do want people to stay aware of the situation, keep an eye on the forecast, and be aware of the storm so that you don't get caught by surprise when the storm arrives. But if you can't get indoors, avoid hilltops in wide open areas. And if you can, get to a car. That's a safe form of shelter. Now, there is a myth about tires insulating you from lightning. That's considered a myth. It's not really true, but you will have protection in a vehicle if it's got a metal top on it and you stay away from the metal parts of the car, keep the windows closed. Or better yet, if you can get into a car, drive away from the storm. That's another good safety tip. Get out of the weather. If you're outside, there's really not a reliable way to stay safe.
Okay. And if you are in a car and for some reason, I mean, chances of this happening are probably as great as you winning the gold medal in the Olympics. So, when you're talking about even the minimal risk, you need to be prepared. Would you get out of the car once it's hit with lightning, or would you stay inside the car and just, until the risk has passed?
You need to stay inside the car for a good 20, 30 minutes after the risk of lightning has passed. If lightning hits your car, stay in it anyway, unless it catches fire. And there are some situations where a car can be hit by lightning and fire happens. And so, obviously, then you need to get out of the vehicle and find another safe shelter.
All right. And speaking of lightning hits, if your home gets hit by lightning, are there tips for you what you should do? Can lightning catch a home on fire?
Yes, and we see house fires started by lightning frequently, and that's very possible. And of course, if your home gets hit by lightning, it's a good idea to make sure that it's not on fire, and of course, respond to it like it is a house fire, and call 911 if you think that your house has been hit by lightning and that there could be a fire in the attic, or even if you can't see that fire, if you smell smoke, you need to call 911.
All right. Well, let's circle back and talk about what else we were starting off this segment talking about, flash flooding. I mean, we've seen heavy rainstorms. We've seen the damage that they can do in some places, really unleashing serious mudslides. How can we be ready for flash flooding?
Again, subscribe to those emergency alerts no matter where you are, so that you are, whether you're traveling or at home, subscribe to weather alerts so that you know the flash flooding alert is out there. Know a couple of different ways to get out of wherever you are. If you're traveling or you're at home, find a couple different ways to get out in case there is flash flooding that do not require you to go toward the water or across a bridge. That's something you do ahead of time, is pick your escape routes and go over your plan, include your pets and your livestock in your plan. Go over the safety rules with everybody, not just the kids. You don't ever want to drive into flood water. Every time there's a flood, somebody drives into it and puts their life at risk. Mm-hmm. Do not drive into water of unknown depth, period. If you're somewhere that there is flooding, head uphill to safety, not down in the direction the water flow is going to go. Some people instinctively want to leave their subdivision or leave the canyon by driving downstream. It's better to go on foot uphill than in a car down into where the water's flowing. So head uphill to safety. And keep that in mind, that you want to get away from the water and don't think about the way the road goes, but think about where the water is going to flow and don't go that direction.
Okay. Interesting that you should put it that way, because we did hear, in the Poudre Canyon, unfortunately, the mudslide, I think that happened overnight, so there weren't a lot of people that were in their cars. But in that situation, there probably would have been a lot of people, if it had happened daytime, that would have gotten in their cars and started driving away. Doing exactly like you said, thinking that they were going to escape the floodwaters coming downstream as opposed to, going away from where the water was flowing.
Yeah, and you can't underestimate the speed and the power of water coming down a drainage like that. And it's sometimes it's better to go uphill on foot than to get in your car and drive with the stream.
And knowing our area, the Pikes Peak region, are there places where the risk of flash flooding is particularly high this year?
Yes, the places you mentioned where there have been recent burns, recent wildfires, make the area especially prone to flash flooding. We've seen that here in the Pikes Peak region in the past with the Waldo Canyon Fire and Ute Pass area. And you want to be aware of those areas. If you're traveling or camping or going hiking or going outdoors in the summer, be aware of where those burn scar areas are because the flash flooding potential is going to be much greater there. Even if it's not raining on you, it could be raining uphill and it can flood those areas. Really, anywhere that water can fall, there could be flooding. So remember that flash floods are the most common natural disaster in the country, and you need to be aware of where those burn scar areas are because there'll be a particular risk this year.
Well, and your office, of course, has just a wealth of information. Where can our listeners go if they want to know more, want to learn more than what they're hearing today on our show?
Sure. We have a flash flood preparedness guide and a whole bunch of great checklists for everything you need for your emergency kits, et cetera, is at pproem.com. And if you don't want to do it online, you can come see us in person this weekend. We'll be at the Springs Sesquicentennial Celebration at the Pioneers Museum all day Saturday. We will also be at Green Mountain Falls Bronc Day Festival this Saturday too. And you can pick up hard copies and books and checklists and materials from us in person if you'd like to.
Okay, I love checklists. It gives me something to check off when I accomplish it. All right, kind of like what we do when we're making our disaster kits. Okay, 9:27 is our time. You're listening to The Extra here on KRDO News Radio. We need to take a short break. We'll bring you your news, traffic, and weather here in this next commercial break, but we'll come up with more of The Extra after this. We'll talk extreme heat as well as hailstorm preparedness, what we should know about those dangers during the summer weather extremes. That's coming up as The Extra continues. Welcome back to The Extra, the show that connects you with the issues, topics, people that are important to you. And today's person, Robin Adair. She's the coordinator of community preparedness with Pikes Peak Regional Office of Emergency Management. And Robin, let's talk about this extreme heat. I mean, certainly it's been hot. Certainly we've known hotter days. And if what you're saying on that extended forecast is going to come to pass, then we should be prepared for even more extreme heat before summer wraps up. So let's talk about what is the potential for those average temperatures, and when it comes to extreme heat, how should we get ready?
Well, we do think temperatures are going to be above average for August and September, but for us, average is like 78, so 70 in the upper 70s. So above average, we're thinking maybe upper 80s in August, mid to upper 80s in September. We usually see extreme heat warnings go out when the temperatures are well over 100, and we're not expecting that to happen. But even in 90-degree days, you can still be victim to heat-related illness that you may need to call 911 for. So upper 80s is still plenty hot enough to be concerned about heat issues.
With those temperatures that we're talking about, I mean, what mistakes do people make or common to make when the weather is dangerously hot?
Well, commonly, people push it too far. If they're feeling hot and they're uncomfortable, and they should stop and cool down and find shade and drink water, and they don't. Too often, people don't take heat stress seriously, and so they don't stop it from becoming a medical risk because they overestimate their ability to take heat. Our advice is that if you're uncomfortable or you're feeling poorly, listen to those clues and stop it before it becomes heat stress. Something you do to be prepared for that ahead of time is learn the difference between just being too hot and heat exhaustion and heat stroke. In some cases, you may need to seek medical attention if you don't feel better soon. In some cases, if it's heat stroke, you need to call 911 right away. So learn the first aid for those things. You can also identify where you might be able to go to cool off if the temperatures get unbearably hot for you. If you can't do that at home, find some public places with air conditioning. That's a possibility. You can get some reflective window coverings or emergency blankets, shiny Mylar blankets that will reflect the heat back out of your windows to help keep your house cool. I've seen people use tinfoil on their windows to help keep the house cool. That works. Insulating your house in advance is good preparation, too, as far as a preparedness thing. Insulation keeps your house warm in the summer, but also keeps it cool. I mean, keeps it warm in the winter.
Right.
But it also keeps it cool in the summer. And, of course, don't go out in the car without water. Even if you're taking a short trip, you don't know if something will happen that'll tie you up in your car. So don't leave without water.
And the same as far as being out in your car goes for, you know, our pets in the car, too. We get those warnings all the time.
Oh, yes, of course. Never leave a pet in the car with the, you know, and in warm weather. It's dangerous. It gets too hot too fast.
Mm. Let's move on from extreme heat, although one thing that kind of comes hand in hand with it, tornadoes. Is it too late in the year to be worrying about those?
Not at all. Our tornado season usually peaks in mid-June, but we have had tornadoes as early as February and as late as November in some years. So it is not too late to be worrying about tornadoes. And we also have straight-line wind. It doesn't have to be going around in a circle like a tornado, but we've had straight-line high-force winds in other months that are just as damaging as a tornado. So being prepared for a tornado is also still a very good idea this time of year.
Okay, and I guess that goes along with having some of those bug-out kits, although you wouldn't want to leave if there's a tornado reported in your area, right? You'd want to seek a safe space in your home.
That's right. You need to seek shelter until the tornado, the risk of the tornado is passed. And then after the tornado, you, with any luck, your home will still be standing and everything will be fine. But if not, then you may need to leave. But you do not leave during the tornado warning. That's correct.
Right. I know exactly the room that I would seek shelter in. But some people may not have a room that's perfect for, well, as perfect as you can be, for being sheltered during a tornado. What would you recommend to people who aren't lucky enough to have a basement?
Well, it doesn't have to be a basement. If you can find an interior room of your house with few windows and no skylights, you know, the most protected interior room of the house is a good idea. Something that you can close the doors on. It's not a bad idea if you're going to be sheltered in place for any extended period of time. Sometimes it's a bathroom so that you have a restroom and water and no windows. That's a good place. Somewhere that's got structurally good integrity inside your house is a good second choice if you don't have a basement.
Okay, some good advice there. And Robin, where's a place if people want to find out more? Where's a place that people can go on the web to find out?
A really good source for tornado information is ready.gov. Just go to ready.gov and search severe weather. All kinds of good tips there.
Okay, we love it. All right, when we come back, we'll talk hailstorms. Certainly, we have had hailstorms in the past that have done devastating damage. So far this summer, well, I'm not going to say it because I don't want to jinx it. We will talk about that when we come back with Robin Adair with the Pikes Peak Region Office of Emergency Management. Keep right here listening to KRDO News Radio. Welcome back to The Extra. All right, we've tackled flash flooding, lightning, extreme heat, and what to do. But now let's talk about hailstorms. And so far this summer, we don't want to say too much, but it has been not as bad for hailstorms as what we've seen in years past. But what about the upcoming rest of the season? Are we out of the season yet for hailstorms? Robin Adair with the answers.
No, not at all. Our typical hail season lasts into September. Obviously, the hailstorms become fewer and farther between later in the year, but we do have hail into September easily, so we're definitely still in that season. And you never know. Right, knock on wood, we haven't had a really bad one, but it only takes one storm, and it's kind of hard to predict in advance.
Right, right. And we're going to talk about how do you prepare in just a moment, but I have a new driver in the family, and so one of the things that's really important to pass along is how to drive in a hailstorm. It's kind of hard to pass along when it's such a rare event. But what do you advise for drivers?
Excellent, excellent question. And one of my biggest notes I had here, I wanted to make sure I mentioned driving in hail. One of the biggest things you can do to prepare is learn how to drive in hail correctly. Because in Colorado, you're going to drive in the hail at least once.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, turn on your low beams. Get safely off the road if you can, clearly and safely off the road, and leave lots of room between you and other cars. The biggest mistake we see people make every time it hails is they try to park under an overpass. Do not park under an overpass. I can't say that strongly enough. What happens is a bunch of people park under an underpass, and then it becomes a giant safety issue on the freeway. And what you're saying is I'm putting hail damage to my car as a higher priority above saving lives of people in a car crash. Especially if the hail is followed by a tornado, then everybody's stuck under the underpass and you can't even get out. So I can't tell you that just creates a huge bottleneck on the road. It's a safety hazard. Do not pull under an overpass. Get safely off the road if you can. Make sure you have your headlights on.
Okay. And you said don't get under an overpass. Where are some places that you could get under? I mean, would trees be a good alternative?
Trees wouldn't hurt you in a car. I mean, if you could do that, you could get under a tree. There's a possibility that tree branches and things would fall on you or that the tree could fall on you. But, you can get under things, but don't get under an overpass where people are passing you at freeway speeds. That's where it's dangerous.
Right. And some people may even stop in the lane of travel, because I've seen that happen, too. And
yeah,
like you said,
we see people stop. We see people stop in the lane. You want to get off the road safely before you stop your vehicle. Just slow down, leave lots of room, turn on your headlights, and carefully get clearly off the road.
Okay. And you mentioned hail preparations, what we can do to be prepared, other than making sure that we know how to drive properly in it. And people should be aware that driving in hail is kind of like driving in a snowstorm. It is slick out there. It's not like your tires are going to perform the way they do on bare or even wet pavement. I mean, they're dealing with ice, so that's something to be aware of, too. But how do we prepare for hail storms? What can we do?
Well, review your insurance coverage on a regular basis, at least annually. Make sure you know what your hail coverage is and that it's adequate for you, so that you're not surprised if there's a hailstorm in your home or your car and you don't have the coverage that you think you need. Review your insurance ahead of time. At home, be sure that you remove dead branches or dead trees or things that might fall on your house if they get damaged in a hailstorm and cause more damage. So make sure that that kind of landscaping maintenance is done on a regular basis. You might want to include some repair items in your emergency kit. This would be your shelter at home kit. Emergency items like tarps and some rope, and maybe have a couple pieces of plywood in a storage building if you can do that, so that if there is hail damage, you'll be able to repair it quickly before more water gets into your house. Learn to turn off your gas and electrical utilities in case there's damage to your home. You want to be able to turn off the gas safely. So make sure that people in your house know how to do that. And again, the car safety thing is really important. Make sure that everybody in your family has talked about what to do safely in your car.
Right. I covered the hailstorm in Fountain, I believe it was like 4 years ago. I don't know the exact year. And it was a bad one. And there was a lot of glass damage because they even had some diagonal falling hail. I mean, it didn't fall straight down. It fell in a way that actually put divots on siding, but also broke a number of windows. And I think people learned in that case that if you are in a hail-prone area, don't put anything that you're going to worry about glass shattering onto up against the window, because that can be something that, and especially, people sleeping, because I think that one happened again overnight or in the early morning hours. You know, if your bed's up against the window, you could have glass shattering right on top of it if you get one of those very severe hailstorms.
Yes, you're right. If it's a bad storm, don't go watch it out the window. And in your car, in Colorado, it's very typical for the hail to fall sideways because we have such strong wind. In your car, if you can, if you aim the front of your car in the direction of the wind, it's been reported that the windshield will stand the damage from the hail better than the other car windows. So you might be better protected if you face the wind.
Ah, interesting. So the windshield is built a little stronger to withstand it. How interesting. Well, certainly, if you are in your car and you're able to park it, best would be to park it indoors. But if you do have to leave it outside, we've seen some of these things that have come on the market, Robin, where they're like earthquake bubbles that you put over your car. Any word on how well those work, or are they just a little more trouble than they're worth?
I've seen lots of products to put on your car to protect it from hailstorm, but I don't have any firsthand knowledge of their effectiveness.
Okay. All right. So buyer beware, you know, just make sure that you're doing your due diligence and maybe it'll work, maybe it won't, but we're not hearing from the Pikes Peak Office of Emergency Management on whether it's a sure thing. Okay. So let's cycle back. We talked about making sure that we're prepared for any sort of summer weather extreme. And one of the things that, Robin, that you mentioned at the beginning of the show, you were talking about our document collection, making sure that we have in an emergency bag or documents. I have a question about that because I did work on putting together my, you know, backup binder of emergency documents. And then I have my real documents that are in a fire safe safe in case there's a fire. What am I supposed to do with the extra copy? Should I always leave it in my emergency bug out bag, or should I keep it in a place where I can grab it, or should I just leave it along with my original documents? What do you suggest?
It's probably easier to keep it in your go kit so that when you grab your go kit, you don't have to remember, oh, I need to go grab that file. I have seen some people put a note on their go kit that said, don't forget to grab the file.
Okay.
Which is another option. You know, so you're picking up your go kit to evacuate your house, you grab your document file. It has to be in a secure place. Obviously, you don't want to have it where it's going to get stolen or that information is going to walk off. But if you can have your go kit in a place that's inside your home that you can grab in an emergency, then having the documents there will just save you one step when you go to evacuate.
Right. And I've also heard it's maybe important not to have just one go kit, but a go kit for each member of the family. And don't forget about your animal members of your family too, right?
Sure. Those emergency go kits are very individual because some people have great big families and you have several different containers to have enough supplies for everybody, and everybody has to grab their own kit. That might not be the case for smaller families. So it's going to be individual based on you. And those documents, I'll also mention it's a great idea to have some sort of electronic copy of them stored off-site, whether that's a flash drive that you have a trusted friend in another state hang on to for you, or whether you store them in the cloud or some other copy that isn't actually a hard copy is a good idea as well.
Oh, great idea. And it could be just scans of them, but like you said, on a flash drive. Excellent information. I learn so much every time someone from your office is joining us. Robin Adair, Community Preparedness Coordinator with the Pikes Peak Regional Office of Emergency Management. Thank you for sharing some emergency preparedness tips for our summer season of extreme weather. Definitely, we see it all here in Southern Colorado. And so this is some good information. Robin, thank you.
Thank you very much for the opportunity to get the word out. I hope everybody has a safe summer.
All right. And if anyone wants to find out more, you can go to ppROEM.com, and that's where you'll find out more information from the Pikes Peak Regional Office of Emergency Management. And also, I believe Robin mentioned this website, ready.gov. That will give you some general tips on preparing for all kinds of severe weather and emergencies. Robin, again, before we go, thank you. And thanks again to our listeners who have joined us for this hour of The Extra. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.